Hey everyone, it's Pastor Eddie from River of Life. Just want to say thank you for joining us on our podcast. Now let's get ready to hear a word from the Lord today. What does God want to speak to our hearts today? So come on, open your Bibles, open your hearts, and let's get into the Word. All right, won't you stand with me, open your Bibles to Luke this morning. Over to Luke 24. Thank you, Jesus. I'm gonna minister on the Holy Spirit today. And as I said, I know we miss an hour of sleep and the weather isn't that good today, but hey, I'm gonna go for it. How many needs a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit? We're talking about being sent, okay? And that's our mandate from God, to be sent. But you can't talk about being sent, or you can't talk about doing work for God without talking about the Holy Spirit. And I want to show you on the screen is our anchor text for this scripture. It's in John 20. Everybody look at the screen before you go to Luke 24. Just hold your place at Luke 24. But this is our scripture, John 20, 21. Jesus said to them, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Everybody say, "He's talking to me." Oh, he's talking to you. He's talking to us. But look at the very next verse. I love this. The very next verse, Jesus says, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit." This falls right in line with our emphasis as River of Life this year. Our emphasis is the Holy Spirit. And you're going to learn about the Holy Spirit this year. By the end of the year, I pray every single person that calls this church your home church is going to know and understand the person of the Holy Spirit. You're going to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You might have come from a church where they told you that the works and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not for today. I'm telling you, that's not correct with the Bible. This is not a denominational thing. This is a Bible thing. The gifts are for today. Healing is for today. The power of the Holy Spirit is for you and for me and for all who are afar off. It's God's design and plan that his children receive all that he has for us. It's the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now, Luke 24 tells us the same scenario. I don't have time to compare the two chapters, but you can go back and look. This is the afternoon after Jesus rose from the dead. This is Easter day. And Jesus returns and his disciples are hiding in the upper room. And he appears to them and shows them his hands. And then he's breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Here, Luke tells us the same thing. He appears in the upper room in verse 45. Look at verse 45. I feel the presence of the Lord in this place right now. Luke tells us what happened. "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then Jesus said to them, 'Thus it is written,'" in other words, the Bible says, and he's quoting Old Testament and all about it, "that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead to the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." It's God's design that everybody on the globe hears about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you've been assigned that mission, by the way. "Behold," everybody say, "He's not done yet." Verse 49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But go and tarry," means to wait, "in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Endued means provided with. So I want to talk to you this morning about the Holy Spirit. I've titled it, "Equipped to be Sent." He's equipped us to be sent. Have your way in this place, Almighty God. I pray you pour out your Spirit afresh on us. Let our hearts, Father, receive this word today. Speak through me, I pray. And if there's anybody in this building or watching online that does not know you, has not surrendered fully to you, oh Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they say yes. Lord, as we move into the Passion Week and celebrating and remembering what you've done for the world, oh God, I know you are still reaching for those that are lost. Help us to not forget that today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. You may be seated today. Thank you, Sarah, so much. Jesus is in this room, and he comes back on this day, and he finds his disciples up in the upper room, and he comes to them. He says, what are you guys doing? And you got to imagine how they felt at this time. Everything they've ever known was turned upside down. They were looking for Jesus to come and set them free from Roman oppression. But God had bigger plans. He didn't come to set the Jewish people free from Rome. He came to set all people free from sin. And they weren't really ready for that message yet. They were focusing on the other prophecies about the Messiah setting up his kingdom, which is yet to happen. And so they were disturbed, and Jesus came, and he didn't have time to do a six-month series on inner healing. He just said, listen, I don't got time for this. I need to give you the Holy Spirit because I'm going off to heaven. And it's to your advantage that I'm going to heaven. Because as awesome as it was to have Jesus in the flesh here on earth, he was only in Israel over in the Middle East. He was one man. He could only go to one place. But he said, it's going to be to your advantage because if I go to heaven, the Spirit of God is now going to come. And he's been with you, but he shall be in you. He's going to be in you in Michigan. He'll be with you in Ohio. He'll be with you in Tennessee. He'll be with you in Florida. He'll be with you all the way over in the Middle East, in Africa, in Asia, in Turkey, in Alaska. He'll be with us everywhere. That's why he said, I have to go so that the Spirit of God will come. How many are thankful for the Spirit of God today? Amen? So he says, he breathed on them and he equipped them. He equipped them with what they would need to get the job done. How many know if you got the right tools to do a job, it makes things a lot easier? How many's ever had to do jobs and you didn't have the tools to do? Listen. My wife loves to watch the do-it-yourself shows. She loves those shows. Chuck and Joanna Gaines, I hate them. Anyway, I love them people. And this is why it bothers me when she watches them, because every time she watches them, I know she gets these ideas. And she goes, look, honey, we can do that. And so I got a reminder of three reasons why that's not going to happen. Number one, they got the budget. Number two, they got a team of people that's going to help them. Well, I know Chuck and Joanna don't, but they still got it. They got help. But here's the third reason. They got the tools. They got the right tools to do whatever it takes for them to do it. And it's amazing when you do that because I end up getting tools for Christmas every time. And so, but when you don't have the tools, we all know it makes the job harder. And if you're like me, you're going to probably injure yourself. You're going to cut your head. Every time I go to do a project, Melinda says, put your hat on. Because now that I don't have a lot of hair up there, amen, any hair up there, I always just bust my head. I just do, always do. And you got to have the right tools. And then I'm reminded of when we went to South Africa, speaking to missions in South Africa. I haven't seen these pictures, but we went to South Africa, and none of us ever built a tabernacle before. Some of us have had some construction background experience, especially here at the church. Amen. You come to River of Life, you become a member, you will work a drill in Jesus' name. So, but we did the renovation. But when we got there, Charles had it all set up, our missionary. And he was like, here, he had all the tools. Look at all these tools, drill bits, the batteries. There's our missionary to the right there. And there's Stacy, one of our team that was working. You see those big sheets of metal? Okay, we're up there putting those down. And that's what we put together. He had everything. He had the pouches for the screws. He had even the tablets to put in your water for hydration. And all of that made that job possible for us to do in 2 days. Why? Because he had the right equipment and the right tools. If we didn't have those right tools, we would still be there trying to put that together. But here's the point why I brought that up. I'm going to let you in on an inside joke that only our team knows, and it has to do with sunglasses. Some of you are laughing. Okay, so I will be the butt of the joke just to if it's going to make a point, okay? This is how bad I want you to get this point. I'm going to let you in on something. So we're putting those sheets of metal up on this tabernacle. It's 102 degrees. The sun, there's not a cloud in the sky, and those are very bright pieces of metal, as you can see. And when we got over on the other side, actually that side that we're on right there, you know, I'm up there. I think I'm somewhere up there, and we're putting those sheets on. Well, the sun is extremely bright, and it's hitting those sheets of metal, Zach, right into our face. And I look up, and Caleb, the young missionary assistant, him and his wife are there being trained to be missionaries, and he's got these really thick sunglasses on, man, really dark sunglasses, and he's got this hood on. And I said, man, I looked at Rob Sherman, he's got sunglasses, and I'm like, I need my sunglasses. And I yelled down to the team there that was chilling in the shade. And I said, hey, can somebody go to the truck and get my sunglasses? And literally, they just looked at me like I was speaking in Swahili or something. And I said, hey, will you go and get my sunglasses, please? And finally, after three times of talking among each other, I said, why isn't anybody listening to me? And finally, Lindsay Andrade, she doesn't miss anything. She goes, what do you mean, the ones that are on your face? But she said it with such concern. Jewel leaned over and said, is Pastor okay? Because it was 102 degrees. I did not realize that I actually had the sunglasses on my face. I put them on, I was okay. But here is the point. Many of us believers in the Holy Spirit, I began to say, God, how can I, what is that joke? He kept bringing me back to that joke. And he said this, because many of my people don't realize that they have been equipped for the mission. The moment you said yes to Jesus, the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes and resides within you. You have the equipment to be sent to win the lost. Peter said that we have received all things that pertain to life and godliness. You already have it. And the funny thing is once I said, oh, I got my sunglasses. I kid you not. The sun was not an issue. It's a mental thing, a shift in my mind, my perspective. I don't know, but here I want you to get, before we get any further into this message, that when you have the Holy Spirit, you have what you need to do whatever God has asked you to do. You have it. You already have it. But many of us get distracted like I was, looking at everybody else, putting the sheets on, and I totally forgot that I already had them. And we get so busy with life, we get so busy with this, we get running, what's next, what's going on, and we forget that the Holy Spirit is with us, in us. He's saying, hey, what about me? And so as we look into this scripture and we learn about the Holy Spirit, just give you something about the Holy Spirit. I can't get a big teaching on him, but he is the third person of the Trinity. He's introduced to us in the second scripture of the Bible. The very first Bible, it says, and God created the heavens and the earth. I like to write in my Bible in Genesis 1, and I wrote, before he created the heavens and the earth, he was. Our theology must start not from Genesis 1:1, but before. We must have believed and embraced that we have a God that's been here from the beginning, that is still here and will be here even when we're gone. He is eternal. He is supreme and he is sovereign. He is the God of heaven. He created the heavens and the earth. And I love that first verse. But the very next verse, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the deep. He's introducing to us right there the Holy Spirit. And then if you keep reading, you see that he said, let us make man in our image. Who's he talking to? Colossians tells us he's talking to Jesus. Through Jesus, everything was made that was made. I'm throwing a lot of scriptures out and I'm going fast. But we have this beautiful picture as you move through scripture, especially in the New Testament. We are introduced to that bombshell scripture where we see all three of them in one scripture. It's in Luke chapter 3 when Jesus was getting baptized. He is standing in the River Jordan himself. And the Bible says the heavens open up and a voice comes from heaven and says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And then your Bible says the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. He manifested in a way of a dove. He wasn't a dove. It was like a dove. But he manifested and came upon Jesus. And John says he rested and made his abode with Jesus from that day forward. In other words, he didn't leave and come and leave. He rested upon Jesus. That scripture is important because it shows us all three right there in one verse. Next weekend is St. Patrick's Day. And let me tell you about St. Patrick. If you really want to know who he was, go look him up. He was an amazing missionary who was kidnapped and was taken as a slave for 6 years, forced to be a slave. He escaped. He got converted, became a Christian, returned to the very people that enslaved him. And he preached Jesus Christ. And he used a three-leaf clover to explain Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What do we do as Americans? We honor him by talking about leprechauns and drinking green beer. Please help us. It is funny. If you want to honor St. Patrick, let's share our faith with our coworker. Let's share our faith with somebody. Let's tell someone about the Holy Spirit and that God loves them and has a plan for their life. Best example I love that to talk about the Trinity before I really get into this, because I got to set this up before we get into the Holy Spirit. And God has left a lot of symbols that we can look at. With the egg, is 3-in-1, ice, H2O, water, liquid, and smoke. It's all three. I love to use the sun, the planet up there as an example. The ball, sun, that's up there, the planet, would be like God. The bright light that we see is like Jesus. And the warmth that you feel is like the Holy Spirit. But also, you see through Scripture, what do they do? How do they equip us? And it's this. If you look at it, God is the architect. He's the designer. God is the architect. He's the designer. Jesus is the blueprint. And the Holy Spirit is the contractor. The Holy Spirit is the one that puts on the helmet, the hard hat, and his tool belt, and he goes to work. He goes to work in our life to do what? To make us to look more like Jesus. To make us to act more like Jesus, to be more like Jesus. That's the process, and the Holy Spirit is the one who does it. Pastor Steve preached a couple of weeks ago what he's been teaching. We've been offering this life group from John Brevere's Drawing Near. It's a book about the Holy Spirit. I love that message. A couple of weeks ago, he talked about how to hear the voice of God. And then last week, Kavar talked about the different people groups that we are called to be sent. Well, I want you to know that God today is equipping us. You have what you need. And he also has more than what you have to this day. And I'm going to explain that to you here in a moment. So let's look at the scripture. In John 20, this is very, very important. I want you to see this. In John chapter 20, 21, we read it. He breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. What is that? What happened to them? What happened? What is that? He breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Do you believe they received the Holy Spirit? Absolutely, they received the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't miss. His prayers didn't miss. God was like, no, I'm not going to answer that one. He said, receive, and they received the Holy Spirit. What was that? Ladies and gentlemen, this is a very important verse. This is the first time anybody was born again. This right here is when they became born again. And Jesus says this in John 3. Why is this so important? And I picked this one for a reason. He said, verily I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And then he goes on later and he says that no one can enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. As I said earlier, this is not a denominational thing. I don't care if you're Lutheran, if you grew up Baptist, grew up Catholic, grew up an atheist. Assembly of God, Church of God. This has nothing to do with any of those. This is a Bible-believing foundational truth that Jesus says every person, in order to get to heaven, must be born again. You got to be born again. You and I have to. We have no, there's no other place. You can attend church and not be born again. I'm going to click into Steve Hill real quick from the Brownsville Revival. This kind of preaching will spark a revival because it wakes people up. You can have a communion cup in your hand and not go to heaven. You can be baptized and not be saved. You can give money to missions and not be saved. You can go on 10 missions trips and not be saved. You understand how easy it is to get into the religious world, learn the songs and know when to say amen without never having ever, and here it is, surrender your heart to Jesus Christ and put your faith and trust in him as the Lord of your life. That, my friend, is being born again. But he says in the scripture, he says, I tell you, you can't even see the kingdom of God. In other words, you won't even understand the things about God unless we have his spirit within us. You can't, Jesus said you can't see it. This is why people don't get what we're saying. This is why I didn't get what people were saying about Jesus. I just knew about him. I heard about him, but I just didn't get why people, why does missionaries leave everything and go on the field and serve the Lord? Why do we read our Bibles and study and worship and give of our money and our time and our talent and serve at the church? Why do we do that? Because we've been born of the Spirit and we see and we get it. Jesus says, without the Spirit of God, we are not going to see this. So what happens when you get born again? Many things happen that get born again, and I'm going to land on three of these. If you're taking notes, I'm going to give you these 3 points, but here's what I'm not going to give you, but it is a great way to summarize Luke 24. You can write this down and study it later, but he gives the explanation, then he gives the expectation, and then he gives the impartation of the Holy Spirit. Those three would be the summary of this little portion of Scripture. He begins to explain to them why Jesus had to die, and he's doing it, why he had to die, and he did it because of verse 24, Luke tells us what happened when you get born again. Look at Luke 24, verse 45. I believe it's on the screen. This is what happens when you get born again. This is what happens the moment you say, Jesus, come into my life. The Holy Spirit comes into us. Just like he breathed on them, he comes into us. And it says this, then he opened their understanding so that they might comprehend the Scriptures. Point number one, the Holy Spirit helps us understand the gospel. This is why people just don't get it. This is why people, I don't understand. You know, Jesus died on the cross. You won't understand it. It's not meant to be just understood. It's meant to be experienced. And then once you experience it, then you'll understand it. That's what he's saying. He was always talking about how he's got to go to Rome and they're going to crucify him. And the Bible says they never got it. And that's why when they finally got him and they crucified him, they said, man, this is crazy. Even the angels said to him at the tomb, didn't Jesus tell you that these things must have happened? But they didn't get it. Like many of us don't get things. Why? Because we need the Holy Spirit. And then when the Holy Spirit, now you don't understand everything. That's why the Scripture tells us to grow in your understanding. We have to learn to grow in our understanding, but we will begin to understand the gospel as it is. And Jesus began to connect the dots, and he told them, he said, I have to open. He opened their understanding so they might understand. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't understand the things of God. Without the Spirit of God, you and I can't understand the things of God. You have a scripture for that? I sure do. You ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says this. Paul said this, the person without the Spirit does not receive the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and watch this, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. So he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. What was that? That was the perfect picture of what Genesis tells us, how God started the creation of man. He created man and he breathed into Adam, and the Bible says Adam became a living soul. Here is another snapshot in the New Testament where Jesus rose from the dead, and just like his Father started the creation of man, Jesus starts the new creation of the new covenant by breathing on his disciples, and the same spirit, same wind, same pneuma is the Greek word, which means wind, which means breath, came into their bodies and became living and spiritually awakened. And now they begin to understand. When I got saved, I didn't really see an angel or anything spectacular. And I don't know if these guys really did. I mean, they're standing in front of Jesus. It's okay if you feel something. And I did when I said that prayer at just 25 years old. I said, Jesus, come into my life. I don't know if I can serve you. I don't know if I can do it, but I'm just going to give you my life right now, this moment right now. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins. I turn from them, and I put my faith. Jesus, come into my life. I said my prayer, something like that. And I did feel a sensation of being safe. I felt, the best way to explain it is like sliding into home plate after you hit a home run on our softball team. Which I've never done, but I heard it's good. It's a feeling of being safe, of no more trying to run and trying to find the answers to life or find myself. I'm just finding myself. Well, when you find yourself, bring yourself to the cross and let Jesus come into your life and give you your real identity, because until you find Jesus, you're not gonna find yourself. I'm just here to tell you today. Thank you, Mom. That's Nikita. God bless you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You need to find Jesus. Jesus, he gives us the understanding. The Holy Spirit tells us and shows us what we need. Until we receive the Holy Spirit, we will not be able to understand the things of God. And then you begin to move into a reality of Jesus and who he is and what he is. And then you start understanding a little bit more of the scriptures of why. And Jesus begins to explain to them, this is why I died. Why? Because now they understand. And with this understanding, listen, with this understanding, there will come an urgency of the gospel. And this is the second thing the Holy Spirit equips us to do. This is why we need him. The Holy Spirit gives us the urgency of the gospel. When you have the Spirit of God in you, there is a inner longing for the lost to be saved. Now, many of us just neglect that, just like I neglected my sunglasses. We can overlook it and not even really pay attention. It's so easy to do. We find so many different things to do and think about it. And our society is set up to pin us against one another. It is. It's set up to pin against one another. And Jesus had this in his own ministry. He would go to the enemies, the Samaritans, and things like that. And the disciples weren't down for that. So he had to send them on a little break. And he had to say, hey, you guys go get something to eat while I take care of business. I got to do my Father's business. And I love in that story of the Samaritan woman. I don't have time to bring you there. But after when the disciples come back, the Bible says they see Jesus sitting down talking with this Samaritan woman. And you know what gets me? It's not what was said, but what was not said. These disciples didn't even ask why their Jewish rabbi was breaking a big custom and was sitting down with a female and a Samaritan woman. Instead, this is what they said. We got to get something to eat. Isn't it just like us to always think more about ourselves and our cravings and our desires than what God is really wanting us to do? They should have been like, hey, Jesus, I mean, if your rabbi is doing something that is against tradition and against culture, being a good disciple, you should say, God, what are you doing? Jesus, what are you doing sitting with her? But instead, they were talking about food. And I love what Jesus did. Jesus used that as a play on words. And he said to them, I have food. He said, you're hungry? Yeah, I get that you're hungry, but this is what you don't know. I have food, and my food is to do the work of God and to finish the job and the mission that he sent me to do. And if you back up earlier in that story, he meets and talks with the Samaritan woman, and she's there thirsting for water. And he says, if you drink of this water, you're going to get thirsty again. But if you will just tap into the well of the water that I have, you'll never thirst again. What's he doing? He's using a wordplay on something that we need like water and something we need like food. And he's saying just as much of a priority as food and water is to you and I, so is reaching the lost and the people that are dying every 2 seconds without the gospel. He's making it a priority. And he says, I like to eat too. And you like to eat, but I got food that you know not of. And my food, what's just as important to eating is doing the work of God and to finish his work. And out of that entire story, there's only one person that really got the message, and it was the Samaritan woman. Because I love it. The Bible says she was there with her water pot. And after she met this Messiah, I love that story. She leaves the water pot there. And she goes running into the city saying, come meet a man who told me everything about me. He is the Messiah. He quenched that inner desire and he confronted my sin, but that's okay. I love him anyway. Because when you realize how much Jesus loves you, you'll let him step all over your shoes. You'll let him do whatever he wants to do in your life because you know his motive is to make us more like Christ. And that's always a good thing. Wives, don't you want your husbands to be like Christ? Husbands, don't you want your wives to be like Christ? Come on, men, say he's talking to you, honey. Then we got to let the Holy Spirit do his work. And the Bible says the Samaritan woman went running to the city and said, come meet this man. She brought the whole town out to meet Jesus. And Jesus looked at his disciples and he used it again as a teachable moment. And he says, look at the field. First, look at the field. I'm talking about the urgency. He said, look at the field. And don't say we still have 4 months until the harvest. In other words, let's quit making excuses why we can't. Pastor Eddie, I tried. It's a political year. They just dull me, and they come at me, and they're against everything. I know. We got the excuses. We got them. Jesus said, don't make excuses. Look, there are people. He says, the harvest is ripe right now. Can I tell you that there are people out there asking for Jesus? I was talking with a man, and I was talking to him about the things of God, and I was talking to one man, but this guy was listening. You ever have that happen? And this guy was listening, and I come to this place a few times, and I came back one time, and he began to get in the conversation. And he said to me, he said, yeah, I've been listening to what you've been saying, and it really means a lot, but he says, I don't think your God can do anything for me. And I said, what's that? He said, I'm a homosexual. And he said, what would your God say about that? I said, if you let God get a hold of you, he won't say nothing about that until later. He wants to talk about you. That's when the tears hit the ice. Because he wanted to throw something up. He wanted to give me, and it could have been so easy. Well, this is what it says. You're an abomination, Leviticus chapter 9. You know, I could have went down there with the robe, but hey, I said, I see what he was doing. I seen what he was doing. And them tears came up in his eyes, Frank, and I began to sit there and talk to him, and he broke down. He's smoking a cigarette, and he dropped a cigarette, and he was outside, and he just was talking. I said, hey, can I pray for you? He said, will you please? I remember when I put my hand on his shoulder, he was trembling like a four-year-old boy. And the Holy Spirit, I didn't really feel like talking to that guy that day, to be honest with you. I was wanting to get in, get my muffin and coffee, and get out of there. But the Holy Spirit said, no, I got a plan for you. And as I began to talk to him, that urgency began to stir up. I just needed somebody to say, hey, your sunglasses are on your face. There's lost people all around you. They're all around you, man. I know there's many that are saying, leave me alone, but there are some that are saying, please, I need help, and I don't even know how to ask for help. I love this scripture about urgency, and then we're going to pray. Acts 20, Paul says this. He says, now I go compelled by the Spirit. Look at the urgency. I'm being drugged. That word compelled means to be connected, to be hitched like a train. Wherever that engine goes, those carts go. Paul said, I'm hitched to the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to Jerusalem, watch this, not knowing what will happen to me there, only that the Holy Spirit tells me I'm going to be happy and blessed. This is Bible. This is Bible, dude. Look, but the Holy Spirit tells me in every city, warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. And the next verse is my life verse. I pray, God, give me this kind of tenacity. He says, but none of these things move me. This ain't Jesus. This is Paul, a former terrorist. A man like you and me, who was single, by the way, and said, I burn inside to be married. And I see Peter got a wife and Barnabas has a wife. God, how come I have to be single? Nevertheless, I'm going to stay focused in on the mission. I mean, he had his struggles. He had his ups and downs like you and me. That's my point of telling you this. But here's one thing that you can't say Paul wasn't, and that he wasn't committed to the mission of Jesus Christ. He said, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish with joy the mission that's been assigned to me to share the gospel. The urgency. He says it starts with the Holy Spirit. We're talking about missions this month, 3 weeks, trying to help our missionaries. But if you haven't noticed by now, we haven't talked a whole lot. We're talking about how to send you and I as missionaries. Because we are the missionaries. That's our assignment. We are called to do it. And the Holy Spirit is the one that equips us to do it. God has given us the task for spreading the news. And it's always about souls. And this part, man, I was like, I'm not going to get off this point because it's the urgency. God just began to stir my heart about the urgency, to get urgent. And the more we allow the Holy Spirit to stir us on it and pray for a burden of souls, the more he'll give us a burden of souls. So if you don't know Christ and you haven't been born again, you need to get born again. Before I move on to this other last point, if you've never been born again, I don't care if you've been sprinkled, you pray, you use beads, you light candles, I'm not being funny. I know there's a lot of people that get confused on this. That's all man-made religious stuff. Some of it has a point. Some of it has no point at all. I'll be honest with you. What matters is if you've been born again. How do you get born again? That was the question this very educated man asked Jesus. He said, Jesus, how do you get born again? Do you re-enter into your mother's womb? I mean, this guy was trying to figure it out. And Jesus said, no, that's flesh gives birth to flesh. It's a little baby. He said, I'm talking about spirit. For the Holy Spirit is like the wind. You can't see him where he comes from or where he goes. He is spirit, but you can see the effects of him. So is it if when everyone, whoever it is that is born again of the Spirit of God, when we repent of our sins and put our faith in Jesus Christ and say, I believe Jesus is the Messiah. I believe he died. I really, really, and only you can do that. I can't do it for you. Only you can do it. And when you pray that prayer and say, God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I put my faith in him, and I turn from my sin, because Jesus told us to turn from sin. He came to take away our sin. So to turn from sin is to demonstrate we believe. You got to have both. That it's not to get saved, it's because you are being saved. And you put your faith in Jesus, and it's that moment he saves you. But then in our narrative here in Luke, so I'm going to move on to a little bit deeper stuff for us Christians here that are saved, do have the Spirit of God. I've stirred your hearts. He wants to open your understanding to the gospel so you can use it. And he wants to give you an urgency. Then in this narrative of Luke, he goes from explaining and then he goes to expectation. I want you to look at verse 49 and then we'll start to close. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. He just breathed on them and gave them the Holy Spirit. Is everybody with me on this? Let me get up here so everybody can see me. This is serious. This is important. He breathed on them, gave them the Holy Spirit. Now he says, go and wait in Jerusalem until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8. Here's Luke, the same writer. He records the last sentence that Jesus said on earth. These are the same people he breathed on are now standing there in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 1. They've been born of the Spirit. And now he says to them, but you shall receive, what's that word? Power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, the enemy's camp. And watch this, and to the ends of the earth. What's he saying? He says, I've explained to you why I had to die, but I want you, and I've given you the Holy Spirit. You are born of the Holy Spirit. But now I'm telling you to expect more that God has for you. And the last point is this, the Holy Spirit gives us unlimited access to the power of God. The Holy Spirit gives us unlimited access to the power of God. The power to witness, the power to love those that we don't want to love. The power to overcome strongholds. And that's why so many people are trying to do things for God and you can't do it and you fail. Why can't I break this thing, Pastor Eddie? Why can't I? Jesus said, I don't want you to go and do anything until you receive this power from on high, the Holy Spirit. And here it is doctrinally and theologically, it's not that you receive more of the God, but it's that God gets more of you. But you got to get expectant. Let me back up. You got to expect it and want it. And I want to just get your hunger this morning and get you excited and get you hungry and wanting to be filled and want more of what God has for you in this year. As I said earlier, I don't want anyone to just copy and paste 2023 into this year. It will happen just like that if we don't make some changes in our life. And one of them is to say, God, I want everything and anything you have for me. All believers can ask of God to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the second work of grace. I want us to stand in this place. Let us stand to our feet. I'm going to close now. Holy Spirit helps us to understand some things when you get the Holy Spirit in your life. When you say yes to Jesus, you are born again. The moment you say yes to Jesus, you're saved. You don't have to be water baptized. That doesn't save you, but you should be baptized. We got one coming up for Easter Sunday, and if you haven't been baptized, get in the tank. It is like wearing the wedding ring. It lets everybody know you're saved. If you get married to somebody and they won't wear that wedding ring, they take that ring off and leave it at home. Ladies, and you see your husband don't wear his wedding ring, I don't know, you might want to say, hey, how come you ain't wearing your, oh. If they won't celebrate you and bring you around their friends, you need to run, honey. I'm giving you some marriage advice, hallelujah, some dating advice. You should let everybody, I couldn't wait to show off Melinda to all my friends because she's way prettier than me. And I want people to say, how did you get her? That's right, babe, come here. If a guy looks at her in the mall, I would go, thank you. But if he said it twice, I'd be like, hey. Because I was proud to be with her. Water baptism does that. That's awesome. You need to get baptized. But let me tell you something. After you get the Holy Spirit and you're born again, you're on your way to heaven, Jesus says there's another experience that I want you to experience. It's the infilling of the power of the Holy Spirit. It's all through the book of Acts. It's all through the book of Acts. I got saved in November. I began to read about this Holy Spirit. And in February 1998, I received the fullness of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Changed my life forever. Stir up the Holy Spirit every time I need him. I sit down with people, just sat down and had lunch with someone in the community, a very well-known, affluent person, wealthy. Sat down at that table. And first of all, it's amazing that Kid for Me course has these open doors. But it's because I'm equipped. God says, you're equipped. That's why I send you. And sitting there in that conversation, just begin to just let God work and use me and begin to minister to this person. And I heard him say, man, I've never heard anybody explain God to me like that. He said, I've been going to church for years. My wife and I, and they quit going to church because it got into all kind of crazy stuff. And I just began to show him about Jesus, flipping over tables. He wasn't happy with the establishment either. They were doing it all wrong. I began to just share my faith and share it with him. I watched God just begin, the Holy Spirit begin to come into that conversation. We sat there for 2 hours. Why? Because I'm equipped. How many want to get equipped? Come on, all you got to do is lift your hands to the Lord right now in this place. I'm going to ask our altar team to come up to the front. And we're here, our altar team, they're Spirit-filled, Jesus-loving people. And if you're here today, and you need to get born again, you need to say yes to Jesus. I know we're going into Easter season, so I don't take it for granted. We see people give their hearts to the Lord every single week here. We had 6 just the other day, a couple Sundays ago. This is what we do. If you're here today or watching online and you need to surrender your life to Jesus, you want to get born again, that don't mean you join the church. That don't mean you do anything or put you on a missions field. That means you just simply say, I'm putting all of my faith in Jesus Christ. I believe he is the Son of God and I make him my Lord today. If that's you, raise your hand in this place. In front of everybody, say, that's me, amen, amen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, amen. 7, way in the back, anyone else? 7, come on, Christians, are you praying today? Christians, are you praying? Those of you that are at home, put your name right there in the chat if you're able, if you're on our social media platform. If you're on our website, you can email us. We want to follow up with you, talk with you, pray with you, and get you connected to the body of Christ. Now I'm going to ask every one of you that raised your hand, will you come up to the front so we can pray for you? Come on up that raised your hand. Come on, church, let's applaud them. Take that step. Come on up, let us pray for you. Let us pray for you. Come on, let us pray for you. Hallelujah. We're going to pray for you. Come on. Come all the way up. Come on, this is awesome. Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people, and you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.